Item number 18, request for public hearing pertaining to commercial electrofishing.
Sounds like my kind of fishing.
Yours is dynamite.
Pretty sure that's illegal in Virginia.
Only if it costs something. Anyway. Which is why we have great marine police and conservation officers. Make sure that doesn't happen.
This is a request for public hearing, proposal to establish Chapter 4 VAC 20-1360 pertaining to commercial electrofishing to create a commercial electrofishing license and fishery. Blue catfish are an invasive species that were introduced to Virginia tributaries in the 1970s as a game fish. Their introduction was very successful, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, and began outcompeting the native catfish. The population exploded, and in a study by Mary Fabrizio, in one section of the James, she found a density of 544 fish per hectare. This is a recreational blue catfish catch, which is harvest and releases in Virginia, as well as the number of trips. You can see it's really been increasing since about the mid-2000s. And it supports a lot of people, a lot of money. There's a lot of charter fisheries on the James River for the sole purpose of taking trophy blue cats. And then this is commercial blue catfish harvest in Virginia, as well as the number of trips. This has also been increasing partially more people are targeting them, but partially since the population is growing, more people are encountering them, often in gill nets, I believe. This is blue catfish harvest commercial by gear. The majority is from pots and traps, which does include the traditional hoop net fishery. And in the orange bars down here, this includes other gears as well, such as handline, haul seine, and an experimental electrofishing project. In electrofishing, a shock unit, a generator-powered pulsator, is on a metal boat that pulses current to stun fish, while harvesters on chase boats use dip nets to bring the fish on board. The electrical current can be fine-tuned to target certain groups of species. For example, catfish are susceptible to a low frequency, whereas most of your riverine species, such as bass, perch, trouts, are susceptible to high frequencies. Fish are stunned, usually for a matter of seconds, before recovering. And fish can actually build a tolerance to this over short time periods. So if you shock the same area day after day after day, less fish will come to the surface every time. Fishermen usually have to wait about 7 to 10 days before the fish become as susceptible as they began. Electrofishing is often used as a survey technique, often used by research institutions and managers. And the usability depends on salinity and temperature. The way electricity moves through the water depends on the conductivity, which is a factor of salinity, temperature, and total dissolved solids in the water. So that changes based on where you are in the rivers and time of year. This is an example of an electrofishing boat. So what you see, the upside-down umbrella there, those are the anodes, which go into the water. The aluminum vessel acts as the cathode, and the fish are drawn into towards the anode and stunned at the surface, where either they can dip net from the boat or from, as I said, chase boats. From 2014 to 2017, a fishery resource grant supported an experimental permit for commercial electrofishing. These experiments tested the feasibility of commercial electrofishing. One year, they reported they averaged about 4,000 pounds a day of blue catfish and flathead catfish. Time of year, conductivity restrictions. Most harvest was raised between 23 and 30 degrees Celsius. Few fish were raised after high rain events late in the year. The grant, they fished late September. A big storm came in October. October 6th, he raised barely enough fish. User conflicts with traditional hoop nets, that's been of some concern. They found no difference in catch of the hoop nets with nearby electrofishing. And then they also showed differences in optimal temperatures and bottom contours. One prefers structure, the other open ground. and hoop nets, the fish don't, the quality isn't as good during high temperatures, whereas electrofishing conductivity is best at the high temperatures. And the grant also tested for optimal harvest gear and electroshocking units. Staff's proposal, which we have worked on with VIMS and DGIF, is to make three licenses available, one each for the James, Pamunkey, and Rappahannock rivers. Licensees will either have previous experience electrofishing catfish or have a history of commercial catfish harvest in Virginia. And licensees must show completion of an approved safety and operations training course. Staff recommends advertising a December public hearing to establish Chapter 4 VAC 20-1360 pertaining to commercial electrofishing to create a commercial electrofishing license and fishery. We ask for the December public hearing because in November we will be holding an informational meeting for interested applicants. And I can take any questions, or we have Bob Fisher of VIMS, who is a technical advisor on the experimental permit, who can also ask questions about electrofishing as a gear.
Questions by members of the commission? Go ahead, Dr. Neal.
It is, so Dr. Fisher's here?
Yes.
And I guess my first question is, he going to be here at the public hearing?
He will not. He will be out of town.
Oh, so we have had questions we better ask today, huh? Okay. Well, then I think I know some of these answers. Are we concerned about interactions with any other species?
Like I said, different species react differently to the temperature, to the current, the frequency. Sturgeon in most studies have shown to be susceptible to higher frequencies. Most studies that I've seen on sturgeon have recommended low frequency, which this will be low frequency electrofishing, to not harm sturgeon.
Can I have a follow up on that? On the same, if we do encounter a sturgeon during the course of this activity and it's stunned, is that considered a take?
Yes.
Follow up on that, if it's considered a take, then what's after that? What is the circumstances or ramifications of that?
We don't have an ITP for electroshocking. If NIFS and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service feels we should have an incidental take permit, we'd have to get an incidental take permit.
So the bottom line is it behooves us to make sure, to Dr. Neal's point, that this is not going to encounter. Dr. Fish, would you like to be heard on this? My question is this going to impact sturgeon to your best of your ability?
Not to our knowledge.
DGIF felt that.
Don't mean you more cute.
One of the comments from DGIF has felt that they've been using electroshocking to do their survey on blue cats, and they feel that it doesn't have an impact on sturgeon.
Because they use the same type of electrofishing in the same areas for their yearly surveys.
Now that I've interrupted your train of thought,
that was kind of, yeah. So basically, if we had him here today, if we got any other questions for VIMS, I guess it would be the time to ask him since we're not going to have him this summer. You know, this is an exciting thing that y'all have been looking at for several years. It putting electricity in the water to stun fish scares me. I trust that y'all have been looking at it. And just like our shrimp fishery that you're developing, that scares me too. But I appreciate the safeguards and the incremental stuff you're doing.
And we plan on having observers out on some of these trips as well. And what we'll do for the public meeting, we'll invite DGIF here as well. So if they have any, they've been very helpful with us. So if there's any questions that they can answer based on their experiences during their surveys, we'll have them here.
And as for if user conflicts are scaring you at all, we are recommending this to only be conducted on weekdays. So there will be no electrofishing from noon on Friday through the end of Sunday. So that way, the days people are most likely to be out looking for those trophy blue catfish, there will be no electrofishing on the water.
If they want to come off Fort Monroe and fish, it'd tickle me to death because they're out there.
Actually, our MRIP interceptions do show a blue catfish right off of our fishing pier.
Oh, I know. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, there, pound nets,
really?
Off of Kipta Peak, absolutely.
Wow.
They have developed an affinity and ability to adapt to to salt water.
The major problem was that last year with all the rain, the bay became a lot fresher, so they managed to find little fresher pathways over.
Mr. France?
Yeah, are we getting any opposition from the other commercial fisheries, like hoop netters or even people that fish recreationally handline to go in an area that's been shocked?
We've mostly spoken to recreational anglers at this time. They do have some reservations, but a lot of them feel this is beneficial, actually, to them.
Can you explain that, please?
Yes.
What's beneficial?
The population was introduced, and what happens is they've got a brand new environment. The population shoots up. They can eat as much as they want. Now they're starting to reach some sort of saturation point, and they're finding, DGIF is finding that they're growing slower. So less fish are achieving that trophy size. So most of the anglers we've been hearing from say as long as you're targeting the smaller fish, it will benefit them as well.
Mr. France, to that point as far as conflict, my biggest concern, number one, we have to worry about, as we talked about at PRFC before, the processing capability. Is that going to be there? The other thing that worries me is, by doing this, is it going to flood the market to the detriment of the hoop netter? Mm-hmm. So we need to look at all of these things as we're going through this. And we've never really had a chance to do this way before. We've had, what got us here is we've had experimental permits that I would sign off before, but we've gotten to the point where we've gotten enough science that I don't think it justifies an experimental permit under the code. So now we're going this route, which is the next kind of like a baby step mm-hmm. that we have to really be careful with, but we'll do the best we can to make sure all of those aspects are covered.
Right. Well, I agree with this totally and look forward to any kind of way to get rid of blue catfish or at least to get their numbers down because, you know, where I come from, it's a big problem in the Northern Lake area, the Upper Rappahannock and the Upper Potomac. But I am getting some calls from some like hoop netters and pound netters that and potters that target catfish and they're concerned about whether this will hurt their fishery.
We have been discussing. We'll keep an eye on it. And if it does, we can shut it down just as quickly as we opened it and try to figure out another way to take care of this matter. As far as I'm concerned, we should. If the conflicts outweigh the benefits, just like everything we do, and it becomes apparent that that's what's going on, whether it's market viability or any other type of problem, I think we should. Mr. Tanker?
I'm surprised Mr. Jenkins isn't here today. I know this was something that has been on his agenda for at least a dozen years, and he's an accomplished fisherman and waterman from the here Sutton neck mm-hmm. of the woods, and he's mentioned that he thinks it's been a detriment to the blue crab fishery. Significantly so. So I'm all for it. And my last question, is that Rob on the bow of that boat?
That is indeed.
A good doctor standing out there.
Yes, sir. Come forward. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, absolutely you can. If you would come up here, state your name for the record, please, and give us any pearls of wisdom that you have, sir.
Yes, I'm Bob Fisher from VIMS Advisory Service Program. Part of the FRG coordinators who funded this research for 4 years looking at low-frequency electrofishing. Have to lean over, huh? But specific to the questions about gear conflict, I'll address that. But I want everyone to keep the frame of mind that this gear type is only functional under certain parameters, environmental parameters, meaning temperature, as Alexa has indicated, and conductivity.
Which means time of year.
Time of year. This gear type will only be functional from mid-May to mid-September in our Virginia waters. And that is directly associated with the summer months here, where a lot of times gear conflict would be minimized because a lot of the hoop netters and other fishers don't typically fish as strong, intense during the summer because their bait fouls quicker and they're a bait fishery. Addressing the gear conflict, we did that in year three of our program, where we were getting some comments from our traditional fishers, especially the hoop netters, saying that after or if shocking occurred near their set gear, that the fish were tending not to go to bait anymore. So we took this conflict seriously. We had a whole program, a whole month long in 2016, a whole summer long in 2016, where we employed a hoop netter, a commercial hoop netter, and gave him free access on the Pamunkey River to set his traps anywhere that he traditionally would to target blue catfish, how they would. So what habitat that he chose was what traditionally the gill net or the hoop netters would choose. All we asked is that he kept them at least a quarter, a third of a mile apart. So what we did is we flipped a coin at the beginning of the study to decide which net we were going to ship or shock over and which one we were not. So we were going to shock over one, skip one, shock over the next in a series like that. So to really get an indication if shocking did physiologically affect the catfish and made them go off of bait to test the, what the concerns were. So we did this for all through the summer. And statistically, at the end of the day, at the end of the study, there was no difference in catch rates between nets that we shocked over and their catch and ones that we did not shock over. And as Alexa alluded to, there's a desensitizing effect that comes with this species, with this gear type. By the end of the study, we were getting zero catch. Even though our depth finders, our fish finders showed there was plenty of catfish underneath us, we could not shock them. While the hoop netters continue to have catch. So there's a lot of, you know, functionality things that make this a very functional gear type. It's highly selective. It will affect, once you set the current into the water, a text current or a pulsed frequency, we get anywhere from the very small fish to the 80-pound fish. It does not discriminate against size. The selectivity process comes by the person dipping what's on the surface. So to give you guys a picture, I wish I had an opportunity to show you a film of this process. So if I was my shock boat was in the middle, I put my pedal on there and created a current in the water. This whole room would fill up within seconds of fish that would become galvanotaxis. They get stunned. And they come to the surface. So any size fish from this size to the 80-pounders would be available to harvest. Remember, that gear type only brings them and makes them susceptible to being harvest. The selectivity comes from the person who's actually dipping them.
And how long were they stunned for normally? When,
between 60 and 90 seconds you have to collect the fish before they regain and go back to their bottom habitat.
Dr. Neal?
Wow. What other species do you see coming up?
None. It's I've been on most of the trips throughout several of the seasons, and tremendous of volume. We were getting 28 pounds per minute, and I didn't see any other fish species other than catfish. Given it affects the white catfish, our native catfish, as a saying, you know, just like the other catfish, but those are always returned. And just as a note, we rarely see our native catfish anymore because the blue catfish have just totally dominated the biomass.
Mr. Ballard?
Do you see other species collecting the stunned blue cats? Are there predators in the area that are...
No. The only thing we see as predators are the gulls and the eagles, okay. Which was very interesting. The very first year we did this, you could see the gulls and the eagles come and test some of the fish, the small ones up, and they would release them, you know. First year they weren't conditioned to having that type of fish to the surface that to feed on, because if you're familiar with the catfish, they have the very sharp barbs on the sides and in the dorsal. But by year two, boy, it was a feeding frenzy. Anything that came to the top, the tons of birds and stuff would feed on. But as far as aquatic predators, no.
Further questions? When is this public hearing?
December.
December?
Yes.
Why not November when he could be here?
Our thought was to allow time for the informational meeting for, and then also so we do not overlap with the straight bass public hearing.
Okay.
So you don't have two
immediate
issues.
I just just want to make sure this is a scenario that looks really, really good, but if we don't get the information out that needs to get out, it can grow legs. Make sure we get as much information, just like you just provided us, was great. So whatever we can do to do that. And by the way, there is a great, I watched it yesterday, as a matter of fact. You can go to Electrofishing on YouTube. North Carolina Department of Fisheries has got one on there that shows exactly how it's done. It's pretty good. So we'll have one to show maybe next year. So anyway.
And Commissioner, I can also speak to your concern about processing capacity.
Yes.
What we have heard from processors is some have stopped processing catfish because if they get a trickle of catfish over a long period of time, it's not worth it to have the inspectors.
Yep.
When they receive a large amount at once, it is worth it to have the inspectors on premises. So several that have gotten out of the game have said they are interested in getting back in with the electrofishing, providing them with product.
Just as long as they take the catfish from our hoop netters as well, I'll be happy for sure.
Yes, we won't discriminate. I was out of one of your processors yesterday helping them get their processing line, their filleting and skinning machines in line. They are ramping up to handle this. And so I suspect others will be getting into that processing sector as well.
Is that pretty much local, the processor?
Yes.
Okay, good. Cause,
and that's one of our directives. We've been trying to enhance the value of this species. Before, it would just come in the round and be shipped out of state in the round. And so any rendering to add value to it was not done prior to when we started electrofishing and working with industry on receiving this large volume at one time type thing.
Because I've got a friend who's known since we were children, he fishes up around Claremont, that takes all these to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So this is sounds pretty good.
The Potomac River Fisheries Commission just had a memo. They were advertising a couple months ago with a list of local processors that do handle blue catfish in Virginia and Maryland.
Okay. Further questions? Okay, what's the pleasure of the commission? Thank you so very much, sir. I appreciate it. On the public hearing.
So I guess before you...
Yeah, sure.
Would you think we should go for a November public meeting as opposed to December? I mean,
I don't want to get into the... Lyle or someone or Dr. Lukin Bach, who finally got his directions to where he was going, can somebody, someone be here that can, from VIMS that can...
And like I said, we'll make sure we have somebody from DGIF. DGIF has been very helpful in this process. We actually went up to, they had a public hearing with their recreational anglers, and it was Rob, Alexa, and myself, and it was fairly hostile to begin with. Alexa gave a presentation, and they were all concerned, and they had a lot of the same questions. And DGIF did a very good job of saying, no, those are not... That's not the fact. This is, we need to do this. By the end of the meeting, they were all supportive of doing this. For their purposes, to increase the trophy fishing.
Well, here's the deal, Mr. Gear. What I'd like to have as far as this public hearing is concerned is I don't want any questions to go unanswered if possible.
Okay.
How's that?
We'll do our best.
Enough.
So
emphasis added. Mr. Tankard.
I'll move to approve the public hearing for December.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard to public hearing in December. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. France. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Great presentation.